Welcome to the January 2020 support group gathering sponsored by Parkinson's Recovery. Thank you so much for connecting in today to our gathering. I have some announcements about what we're doing here at Parkinson's Recovery to kick off our gathering today. And is our custom, I, of course, will check in with each of you who called in to see what's up, anything to add about your experience with your own personal journey down the road to recovery. First announcement is that I just posted an announcement of the Jumpstart to Recovery course that I will be offering in just a couple of weeks from now. This is a course that I really am quite proud of. It enables you to figure out using a close observation of what messages your body is giving you about what are the factors that are causing the symptoms that you currently experience. I am well aware that most of us, and myself included, when we get sick, find that the first course of action is to make a visit with a healthcare provider. We tell them what our problem is, and they then make some suggestions for diagnostic tests. We then go to a laboratory. They draw blood, or they take urine from us, or feces, or God knows what. Perhaps they do some imaging, and then we come back to the clinic after 3 or 4 or 5 or even longer weeks, and we get a report of the diagnostic results. Of course, that experience can take weeks. It can be rather invasive, and it typically is very expensive. I might also add that those kinds of experiences can also be traumatic. Visiting a healthcare facility, even having blood work drawn, can bring out lots of unpleasant memories of the past, and those will re-traumatize you. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing I'm arguing that would suggest that those steps are a good idea. I've done them. They can provide some very useful information about what might be causing symptoms to flare up and what might not be causing symptoms to flare up. Rather, what I'm suggesting is there is a companion approach that can yield incredibly useful and rich insights into what, in fact, is causing the symptoms associated with the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And this approach involves no visits to healthcare professionals. It involves no need to pay for expensive diagnostic tests. It involves no trauma, no transportation, no stress, no anxiety. Actually, all that we are talking about here is it involves a series of ways that we can do an investigation of what messages our body is sending to us. I'm really proud of this segment of the course because I've not seen it offered anywhere else. It's something that I figured out on my own, so I'm rather proud of being able to say, hey, I wish you'll take my course. I think you'll be excited to discover that by, for example, looking carefully at what messages our eyes send to us, what messages our, get this, feet send to us, what information we can gather from our teeth, what information we can then garnish up from the specific location of where the symptoms initially emerged, whether a left little finger or a right big toe. It's incredible how much information we can gather together that will give you some very helpful and supportive information about what's causing your symptoms. A lot of people, I think, in the end, decide that I'm really feeling terrible. I need to find some therapy out there that'll help me feel better. So they do some searches. They talk to some friends, and somebody says, oh, this has really helped me. Perhaps it's an energetic kind of a treatment like Reiki. Perhaps it's an acupuncture treatment. Perhaps it's a Bowen therapy, whatever. And so the person chases out to get that therapy. Now, there's a hopefully good chance that that therapy will provide some help and support and benefit. But if you'll step back and ask the question, does that therapy address the factors that causes the symptoms? Sometimes yes, and oftentimes the answer is no. A much less stressful way to approach recovery, in my book of good ideas, is to rather focus initially on asking the most important question of all, and that is, what factors are causing the symptoms that I currently experience? What is at play here for me? Many people believe, oh gosh, if I just go to a researcher or if I go to my clinician who's not a researcher, they'll be able to tell me that this is the cause of your symptoms. And oftentimes you might hear a report back of, well, the reason you have this is you have a deficiency of dopamine, and so they'll prescribe some supplements or medicines that will boost that up. Okay, that's interesting approach, and it might in fact be very useful and helpful and supportive for your ability to feel better. But the more useful and instructive and in the long run important information is to ask the next question: if there is a deficiency of dopamine, what is causing that? What's the reason why dopamine is deficient? You don't have a deficient body. I don't have a deficient body. Bodies are designed to function perfectly. So if your body is out of balance, then must be some reason that is creating that imbalance. So focusing on that cause, finding a therapy that addresses that cause, will enable you to get back on track and to allow your body to come back into that place of full balance and harmony. That then is the whole design and the purpose of the course that I'll be offering in a couple of weeks, the live course with 6 live sessions with me, which titled Jump Start to Recovery. Now, the course, of course, has these live sessions with me, but there's also 24 hours of videos that I have shot of myself talking about various therapies, various ways to determine the causes of these factors. So the resources available that I'm providing to support the instructional material that I'm offering is really very extensive. I think I've got 5 different book downloads that I'm providing. I've got weekly, get this, mindfulness challenges for a whole year. And of course, you have access to the online Jumpstart to Recovery course materials for a lifetime. So once you get in there, and that's a part of the course tuition, you get that for free. So the early bird tuition is on board right now for today. If you're interested, I just posted information about Jumpstart to Recovery on the member website, What's Up Robert's page, which I'm sure you're familiar with. So check in with that, and if that calls out to you, please do register. And most importantly, register at the early bird rate. There's no need to pay for the higher rate. But I think the value that you'll find in taking that course will really enable you to be much more successful in whatever decisions you make about what you need to do for your own recovery. Keep in mind that my big picture argument and finding and revelation is that everybody's symptoms are idiosyncratic to them, meaning that the factors that are causing your symptoms are going to be very different from the factors that are causing the symptoms of other persons diagnosed with this particular condition, with Parkinson's disease, or with whatever other neurological condition you have a diagnosis of. So I believe, and I support the approach that I am advocating in Jumpstart to Recovery. I think the name of the course is true to exactly what we are offering. We are offering the ability to not just get a slow start, but a jump start to your recovery. And the reason for that is you get a very clear picture and an idea of what is the underlying reason for your symptoms. And we go at the deepest level. We go at the level of thought forms that are not in your best and highest good. We go to the level of the physical reality of what is out of balance in your body, whether it is a problem with your kidneys or your liver or your lungs, whether it's a problem with chakras that are out of balance. We also look at the potential impact of family entanglements. many people are unaware that a reason why these imbalances of your neurological system persist is because you have an entanglement in your family system. So there's a whole class session on instructing you on how you can identify whether or not an entanglement in your family system is obstructing and roadblocking your success with being able to have an ability to have a full recovery from whatever system you currently experience. So I also want to be sure and offer a preview for you of the kind of work that I have been focusing my attention on over the previous month, which has been very different actually from previous years. I have constructed the opportunity to get some videos that I have made this last month of three therapies that I selected from the report of the many dozens of therapies people say are helping them get relief from their symptoms. So in the What's Up Robert website, member website, I've got some postings of the way that you can get links to those videos, obviously for free. So be sure to look at those videos. I can't say that I selected the top three or the most frequent suggestions, but these are three that for one reason or another I felt like could be very interesting. Some of them were relatively new to me, but when I looked into the research behind it, I thought, whoa, this idea really has some serious merit. I've been looking at this area of what kind of therapies can help address the symptoms of Parkinson's for a decade and a half. And it's been only recently that I have been hearing back from members of my audience that lion's mane mushrooms have been useful. I thought that's interesting. That's kind of a new report back. So as I began to do some investigations of what the research reported pertaining to the usefulness of lion's mane mushrooms, I was awed. I thought, oh my goodness, why did I take so long to discover this? So I've constructed a video to explain why, in fact, that might be very, very beneficial. So anyway, this is my long roundabout way to suggest that you click in and all you have to do is to enter your first name and an email, because I have to send you the links to the videos. And they're not posted here on the member websites. I used another platform that has a very slick video platform so that it can play on any device and you won't have any problems being able to see them. And you'll get a new video every day, so be sure to check in with that. And also, the other thing I've really worked on and constructed some videos for are some suggestions for how you can make walking rock solid. So there's another posting that I have here on the What's Robert website, and on that posting, again, it's the same routine. It's I think I have three suggestions that I have selected out of many different suggestions that I think could really help you be able to improve your ability to walk effortlessly. So if mobility is a challenge, if walking is a challenge, be sure to go into that What's Robert member website, scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see there's also an explanation of what that's all about. And again, it's just click, you add your email address and your first name, and then what you'll get in your email will be the links to the videos that I have prepared. Again, that's how I've spent quite a bit of my time this last month, is selecting what videos to actually present. We also moved into supporting a whole course platform for rock solid walking, so that's available too, and a whole course platform for what really matters. In the past, I've always offered those classes live, but I've had so many requests for, could you please offer? And of course, I can only offer so many live classes at any one particular given couple of month period of time. So I've found a course platform that I can use where I can post all the videos, all of the PDFs, that is the text documents, all the research evidence, and then the audio interviews and the audio information. It's really a very excellent platform that plays on all devices. I have to pay a fortune for it every month, but I think it's going to be well worth it, so that you're going to, if you decide you want to even enroll in that course, you'll be able to have a seamless interface with being able to access the video resources and the written resources, the PDFs, the downloads, the audios, and all of the other concomitant and companion resources that are available for each of the suggestions of the therapies that we've identified that are helpful. And so the listing of the therapies, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens. I think I'm going to have enough therapies to post every 5 days for a year now. There are so many that they have been inspired by what respondents to my holiday survey has reported have helped them get relief from their own personal symptoms. So for those of you that are not aware, through Parkinson's Recovery, every holiday season, and we've just now passed through a holiday season, I ask two simple questions. The first is, since the previous holiday season, in other words, since a year ago, have you been feeling better, about the same, or worse? That's the simple question. And then we get a report back of how many people really have been feeling better, how many people are about the same, and how many people are worse. Surprisingly, the results of that this year are mirroring the results I've received from previous years. As it turns out, about two-thirds of the respondents are either better or they are about the same, and then one-third of the respondents actually report that they have been feeling worse. So, of course, that's my way, as I'm sure you might have heard me report before, of summarizing for me the end result, which is, hello there, it is not true that if a person has this diagnosis, they are destined to get worse. The evidence clearly shows something very different. And again, I've done this year after year. We get the same results. We always get people who report back they are feeling better. And that is counter to the false belief that is promulgated out there day after day, week after week, by many professionals, which is to say, oh, sorry about this, you have Parkinson's, but you're going to get worse. It's not true. It is absolutely not true. But the second question on the survey asked what therapies have been helping you feel better. So I get each person to list what it is that they're doing that helps them feel better. And it's amazing to see the listings of what are reported. Now, I already have provided you as members with a preliminary report of that, and I'm still waiting for the final results to trickle in. But they have, again, mirrored what we have found in previous years. People use a very unique and different set of therapies that are helping them get well. So you don't see any consistency across all the reports. They are varied. They are rich. There are some commonalities. There are some more frequent reports of therapies in the reports that I get than others. But in the end, what we're finding is that people are succeeding with whatever therapy they embrace of being able to tame down their sympathetic nervous system and support and nurture their parasympathetic nervous system. That's what all the therapies actually do. And that, I have to admit, was the revelation that I had when I stepped back on just this last survey after having done it for many years. And I said, okay, these are really very different. There are dozens and dozens of therapies that people say are helpful, but what's in common among all of them, regardless of what the therapy does, how it is done, or where it is done, all the therapies accomplish just what I said earlier, and that is that they tame down, they turn down the volume, they turn the switch off of the sympathetic nervous system. That's the fight, flight, make things happen, go, go, let's get things done nervous system. It's important. We don't want to shut it off permanently, but we don't want it to be on full blast 24 hours a day. We need to have a balance. People who are succeeding in their recovery program have a balance in their life. Yes, they have the sympathetic nervous system that is on some of the time, and also the parasympathetic. The sit back, relax, chill out, have fun, enjoy life. That particular sympathetic system is also turned on about 50% of the time. There's a balance. So if you really think about what might be causing symptoms, just think about it. If a person is on full steam ahead. Go, go, go. Anxious all the time. Got to meet the plan. Got to meet the goal. Got to be sure to be on time. People who are the movers and shakers of the world are just like that. And it's important to have that energy for a person to be successful. But if you have that turned on 24 hours a day and is never shut down, the body wears down. Think of the body as a machine. So machines don't work if they are turned on 24 hours a day forever. I'm sorry. Hello. I don't care how many good parts you have in a machine. If you're turning that machine on 24 hours a day and never turn it off, the parts will wear off. I don't care how much oil you put into the friggin' machine. And the bodies are the very same way. So we have to have a balance, and that's what all of those particular therapies do. So this is my long roundabout way of saying that I have extracted the many different wonderful therapies that people have reported are helping. Some of them require some modest investment. Some of them are free. I should say many of them are actually free. You just have to integrate those into the habit of your daily life. Some of them, I say a very small handful of them, do involve some cost, but all of them are reported to have been helpful for some people. Now, my final comment for those of you that want to begin to explore more therapies, if you haven't landed those that are really helping you have a full and successful recovery, keep in mind that there's also one summary comment that I can make about any therapy. What we've discovered through our research is that, yes, the therapies that we have identified are clearly helping some people. We have very clear reports that they have been effective for some people. We also know that there's no therapy out there that helps everyone. So don't think for a minute that if you see a therapy that's helped a lot of other people, it's not necessarily going to be the case that that therapy will help you. Now, it very well may, and it certainly is worth considering, but don't hold out the expectation that there's a guarantee there that anything that you select that I will be introducing in that particular course, and what really matters is the name of the course, will be sort of an assurance. I think the key is to step back, to reflect on what you think would be the best choice, and to use your own wisdom, your own best gut instincts, and you will never really go wrong when you do just that. Well, we changed the day and the time for the class. We were having some trouble with participation last month, and I thought, well, let's do an experiment for our support group gathering today. And our experiment will be, well, let's shift the time to Sunday when people who are working will be more likely to connect in. So I hope the time shift has been useful for many of you in being able to connect in live here to the course. So we do have the chat room field. Remember, you can type in anything there right now because we're in the live class. And we've also got the Q&A field as well. I don't see anything that's actually written there. But we do have a caller, and I think it's Bill. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Hey, Robert. How are you?
Hey, it's good to hear your voice. I'm well, thank you. And how about you?
Good. I'm doing fine. I had a question. You sent around an email maybe a couple of weeks ago about using passion flower or supplemented passion flower.
Yes.
Could you expand on that a little bit? I wasn't quite clear how to use that or how it would be useful to somebody with Parkinson's.
Well, there's a lot of research on it, and that's one of those therapies that I have introduced into What Really Matters course. Let's see, you want to know more about it. I'm trying to think whether or not I list that. Did you by any chance get the emails of those videos that I made for people to look? And it would, the passion flower wasn't in that?
That I don't remember. I remember, I thought I just saw it in a separate email, but maybe I'm mistaken about that. What my understanding was that it would, if somebody was on levodopa, that it would extend the on time in some way if it was taken in conjunction. Did
that
I get that right?
That's correct. That was one of the revelations. Now, I did not actually get that suggestion from any of members of my audience. I got that from the research evidence. So what I did was I looked back over what people reported had been helpful in terms of helping them feel better. And one of those particular therapies wound up being, of all things, passion flower. So I had not really highlighted that, Bill, in anything I had done previously. You know, it wasn't anything that I thought would be useful for people. But then when I looked at the research, I had several people report on the survey that they used passion flower, and it was very clear that it had given them wonderful results. So passion flower, it's used by a wide variety of individuals with actually many different chronic health conditions. One of the reasons why it's useful when it comes to a diagnosis of Parkinson's is that it soothes anxiety. It, according to the research, promotes sleep. It, and this is a really wonderful benefit, it lowers blood pressure and it eases if you have nerve pain. Now, the passion flower itself can be made into a tea, which I think is a wonderful way to get it, you know, a hot tea, or it can be used as an herb added to food. Apparently, the reason why this is successful is it contains something that is called butanolic extract, which has been connected and associated by researchers to neuroprotective and then and antioxidant properties. So that's a nice double whammy there. It's not just neuroprotective, but if it has antioxidant properties, it can certainly do some good for a lot of people. So that's right, Bill. You're extracting a summary that I had written, and some researchers, and again, I want to stress, I haven't heard this from a member of my audience, but I was excited to learn that some researchers are reporting that passion flower improves the effectiveness of the medication that is L-DOPA or levodopa when you use it in conjunction with that medicine. And there's also some research evidence that it may tame tremors when it is used in conjunction with the levodopa. So that's good news. Now, there's another little caveat that I saw in one research study, and that was that it might have minimal benefits when it's used just by itself. Minimal meaning it does benefit, but perhaps the benefits are not quite as noticeable or benefits that you cannot really obviously celebrate as you would get when you use it with medications. And I would just say, you know what, if that's the research evidence, that passion flower is just an herb, it's just a tea, I'm sort of recommending if people are on medicines, why don't you just see if this might help? I've gone to my health food outlet, it's a co-op here locally, and they have a whole jar of passion flower, and if you smell it, it really has quite a wonderful aroma to it. Just smelling it is a therapy, quite frankly. Sometimes, you know, I think you can get therapeutic results if you go into some of these outlets that have jars of herbs, and instead of actually making them into teas, just smell them. You know, just open up the jar and smell for about a minute. That's a true wonderful therapy in itself. So you can get it as a herbal tea, and in the little posting that I made on the member course called What Really Matters, I've got a picture of passion flower that I took of where I could find it in my local co-op. It's apparently in my co-op here about $2.39 an ounce. So that's a pretty good price. You could, you know, get a couple of ounces and see if that might provide you with some relief and some benefit. So in the end, it's just an herb. It's just like a tea, you know, any kind of a tea. It's readily available in stores. I didn't see any contraindications, like it's not going to create any problems in interacting with any other kind of medicine that you might be taking. Now, whether or not that's a definitive conclusion, I don't know, but I have not seen any evidence that it causes any harm. So in the end, I would just say, well, I wish people would begin to just experiment with this, try this some. We don't know how much to take, But if it's a tea, it seems like you could make a pot of tea and drink that and see if you don't find that your medicines, if you're taking the medicine, will stretch out a little longer and that you'll get a little benefit in that regard. I would also think that this is the kind of intervention that should not take hours and hours to see a result from. I would think you could take the tea or insert the herb into a smoothie perhaps, and you should be able to celebrate a relief from the symptoms that you experience pretty immediately. I wouldn't think it would take a long time. Now, it may be that you would get better results by observing and doing this over a series of 4 or 5 days. But in the end, it seems to me you should be able to notice something pretty quickly. So it's worth trying. I don't see why not.
To your knowledge, would this need to be taken at the same time as you taking the the pharmaceutical medicine, or could it just be done, you know, at some other point?
You know what, Bill? That's such a good question. I do not have the answer to that because none of the research evidence reported one way or another to whether or not that would be the case. Do you ever muscle test anything?
I don't. I can't seem to get the hang of that. I should look at some of your instructions for that again.
Well, I've got that little booklet, Bill. You've probably gotten that before, but it's got the four methods that I use. The reason I'm suggesting that is that there usually is not a universal answer to that kind of question. It's best to ask your body whether or not you ought to take it with the medication or whether you ought to delay. And if you were looking at those methods initially and didn't find one that seemed to work, keep in mind that one explanation may be that you need to be better hydrated. So if you're using a muscle testing method and you want to, you know, start out with just asking, is my name George? And, of course, your name is not George. Is my name George? And if the muscle testing method flops and says your name is George, well, it may be not just that the technique is flawed, but rather that you're not hydrated. So go drink a lot of water right then. Drink water.
Okay.
Go back. And then do the test again and say, okay, is my name George? And if you're well hydrated, and then the muscle testing result, regardless of the technique that you use, should show, no, my name's not George. Is my name Bill? And you ought to come back with yes, with a strong yes. So when you get your muscle testing hydration online, then you can get ready, and let's say you're ready to take the medication, and you might want to ask the question, you know, should I take the medication now? Maybe you need to wait an hour, but you can ask that question about medication. But the question you want to ask is, what about the passion flower? So after you take the medication, you can muscle test it, and you can say, all right, body, you could, just hold the passion flower in your hand, or if you make the tea, you could, you know, hold it right there in one of your hands and muscle test. Should I take the passion flower right now to get more relief from my symptoms, and just find out if your body says yes or no? Should I take it now? Of course, you can also ask the question, should I take it at all? You know, that's the first question. And you can ask that before you buy it. I mean, you could go to the health food store. You can get some. Sometimes they're tea. Sometimes they're in bulk quantity. But you can just, hold it or, you know, get close to it and then ask your body, do I need to take passion flower with my medicines at the same time, yes or no? And it'll tell you. Or should I wait? Should I spread the time out? It'll, you know, the muscle testing will give you the answer to that. If I had to guess, and this is a wild speculation, Bill, I would guess that the most benefit from this and being able to get a longer celebratory relief from symptoms, a longer on time, would be to take it before the medicine. My guess would be if you took the tea like, 45 minutes before the medicine, so that the tea could kind of assimilate throughout your body, that probably would give you a better result. And then, quite frankly, I mean, it's just tea, so you take the medicine and then, you know, drink it afterward, too. I mean, it's not as if you can't stop drinking the tea. So I suppose as I kind of check into my body and I ask, all right, what would be the best kind of a thing if I were on medicines, what answer I get would be make a pot of tea, drink the tea, For me, take the medicine about 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, and then just continue to take the tea, drink the tea. And if you're a tea drinker, you can sort of sip it, you know, for the next 3 or 4 hours, and then track it, kind of keep a little research evidence and ask yourself, all right, is my on time longer when I do this? And if so, and, you know, continue to track that to make sure you have a pretty reliable result. The research shows that it's pretty significant that people get quite a bit more relief, and so it seems like it's worth trying.
Okay. Yeah, because it seems to me anything good or bad that you take into your body has a kind of absorption time, let's call it, and then an effective time, and then it sort of declines, and that would vary tremendously depending on what the ingredient is or what the material is that you're taking in. So
it's huge, isn't it? It's huge. And what you're eating and the protein, I mean, it has a lot of different factors that, you know, make a difference.
Right.
So
right.
It's really huge. And a lot of course, instructions are, well, watch your intake of protein because it interacts with the effectiveness of the medicines. And so there's a lot to take into consideration. But my guess is with a little experimentation, you should be able to find a little routine. I don't mean little routine. I mean a routine that would succeed in being able to really elongate the effectiveness of the medicines. And I'm excited about this, too, although I don't have any specific evidence from people other than the people who reported it was helping. Because if it, in fact, does exactly what the research evidence says, if it gives you the opportunity to get more on times with taking the medicine, then that means the medicines are going to last longer. You'll be able to take less. So you're not going to get into that position, you know, of having to all of a sudden have so much medicine you can't take anymore. If it stretches out the effectiveness of the medicines, that's great. I mean, it's like, whoa, that's a huge result. So if we can get more evidence. Say again?
That's what got my attention about it, because that's just,
we're on the same page. That's exactly what I'm thinking. So, you know, I haven't been able to sort of go out with a big kind of an argument for everybody. Look, everybody needs to do this because we don't really know for sure. It's just that's what the research studies say. And I know people have reported that passion flower has been really a hugely beneficial therapy for them. So we have some pretty good support to suggest it'll really help. I just checked on the What Really Matters course, and the videos that I gave of downloads are not actually – one of them is not Passion Flower, but if you sign up for the link to the course, you get free access for a whole week, and you can see the presentation there. I'm thinking that's right. Wait a minute. They're posted every 5 days. I'm trying to roll it out so that I don't overload people. So as I'm thinking, Bill, oh, gosh, I'm not sure that the Passion Flower will be posted by the time the 7 days are up. So if you need the written explanation that I just gave you, just email me and I'll send that to you, okay? So I've got what I wrote. Say again?
I want to get your reaction to it, that's all.
Yeah, no, I'm enthusiastic. I have no one who has yet said that it hurts, and it may be one of those few therapies that you can take, and nobody reports back that it seems like it does any damage, and it may not do any good, but at least it doesn't do any harm, so...
Okay.
Boy, you know, it would be so wonderful, too. Something as simple as this. If that really does what it is that the research says, that's huge. It really is.
Yes. I have another question maybe, or really more of a comment. Maybe I could get your reaction to.
Of course.
Okay. I know you've done some research and some reporting on sound therapy of various kinds.
Yes.
And the other day I was thinking, approaching this from a, shall we say, a negative angle, that certain sounds really bother me. Like, for example, the sound of a vacuum cleaner going on constantly, or a hair dryer. It makes my symptoms worse. So it stands to reason if there was something that sounded good to you or that you reacted to positively, that would have a positive effect. Does that make sense to you?
It does indeed, Bill. That's exactly my reading of how sound therapy works. So you can actually get analyses of voice prints. You can actually find the frequencies that you are deficient in terms of sound, and you can get those programmed for you. The simple approach, the one that I think is perhaps the most fun, is listen to music that you love to listen to.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you said. Listen to music that you love to listen to. So person A loves to hear the country music, and person B hates it. All right, person A needs to listen to country music all the time. Hello? And person B should not. Person B loves to listen to Beethoven. Okay, that's the music they should listen to. So the reason for that is that the music that we like to hear has the frequencies that our body needs to receive. So it's like medicine through the ear.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, well, the only way I can get medicine is through pills or through medicines or putting something in my mouth, or I have to eat the foods that have the minerals. Well, that all is true. It is true that you can get the medicines and the fuel by eating it or ingesting it, but there is another way, and the other way is through sound. I mean, every medicine, for instance, passion flower has a very specific frequency, a sound frequency. It also has a light frequency, but it has a sound frequency. So we can receive passion flower by exposing ourselves to the sound frequency associated with passion flower. So
yeah.
Listening to the sounds that we love to listen to, I mean, if you can do more and more of that, I think you'll feel better and better. Just listen to the music that you love to listen to. Now, one of the reasons why that's not the final solution is the following. Some of the frequencies that we are deficient in, that our body needs to receive, are frequencies that we can't actually hear. They are out of the range of our ability to actually physically hear them. They're too low.
Yeah.
So that's why doing these analyses of voice prints and even getting some recordings of sounds that our body needs to receive can also be a very, very excellent healing approach. I know that's what I did with my daughter, so I learned a lot about how you can do an analysis of the frequencies that the body is deficient in. So the way to put it is, a person understands I'm deficient in vitamin D3 or I am deficient in vitamin C. They understand that. Okay, you can also say, I am deficient in the frequency associated with vitamin C or vitamin D3. I don't have enough of that sound frequency in my body. So you can actually infuse the body with D3 or vitamin C or passion flower or anything through sound. The problem is that although we can get that by listening to music that we love, the difficulty is that some of these frequencies are very low, and again, with not in the audible range, we can't hear them. So when my daughter, when Cherry Edwards, she's the sort of bioacoustic pioneer, she very graciously worked on Adrian's case and sent her a tone box of the frequencies that Adrian needed to receive. And it's interesting for me, when we got all that equipment and we got the speaker and I began to listen to the sounds, they are very low sounds. These are not high squeaky sounds at all. The sounds that are typically programmed that our body is deficient in really are oftentimes very low frequencies. And they kind of sound like the humming of a refrigerator.
Okay.
And there are a lot of different frequencies involved, of course, depending on the needs of the individual. So my very elaborate and extended response to your inquiry is, I totally concur, is that listening to the kind of music that we rebel against is not a good idea, but listening to the music that we love is exactly the healing that we need.
Yeah, because I found the negative effect of unpleasant, or at least to the individual's ear, unpleasant sounds is almost immediate.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So it would be great if on the positive end, that kind of relief could be achieved positively, because it would be so immediate.
Exactly. Well, it's just like people who have too much dopamine, their body rebels. I mean, that's a frequency that's too prevalent in their body. So you have a lot of physical evidence of how that can actually occur. Well, what music do you like to listen to?
I'd have to think about that, because it would have to be non-agitating, shall we say. I mean, there's music that energizes people, but there's music that relaxes them. So I'd have to find something perhaps in the middle there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know there used to be music stores. I know there was one in Lexington, Kentucky, where you could go and they sold all sorts of music CDs, and you could put headphones on and listen to them to decide if that was something you needed. Maybe you can find a music store like that where you could go and just, you know, listen to a lot of different music and see which ones your body responds to. I think you have just so very accurately summarized that you know immediately if that's something that's going to be good or not for you. I mean, you don't have to listen for 5 minutes to music to know whether or not it's right or not. So
yeah.
You can usually, you know, if you had that opportunity to begin to just listen to a lot of different music with headphones for free, you can really do a lot of experimentation to see what might be really very pleasing to you.
That's a good suggestion. I'll definitely look into this further, because that would be a nice intervention, shall we say, that's relatively cost efficient, and as I say, the effect, good or bad, is pretty immediate. So
it's immediate. It's huge. It's fun. It's relaxing. It's enjoyable. It supports your parasympathetic nervous system. There's no reason not to do it. No reason. No reason. So go find some music you love to listen to and let us know what it is.
Okay, I'll report back if I get some good results, or even mediocre results.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, Bill. Well, as always, it's just wonderful to connect with you. Thanks so much for joining us here today.
Well, thanks for all your help, Robert. It's been great.
You're welcome, Bill. And again, thanks for being here in our Parkinson's Recovery Membership. So I want to now connect into Charlotte. Hello, Charlotte. How are you?
Hi. Are you able to hear me clearly enough?
I certainly can. I think everybody else can too. How are you?
It's been an interesting day, let me put it that way. And I'm not quite sure yet how to answer that, considering how today has been. I got a new microphone just recently because I still haven't done Sherry Edwards' analysis, and I want to get on there and do that. I'm very, very interested in that, having worked with her years and years ago, just as she was going digital, just at that point.
Oh,
so I really,
how interesting.
Really want to, yes, and I really want to do this, but I heard you say that you have all kinds of equipment, but my impression was, and I hope this is correct, that you don't have to have all that to get an initial analysis and get some kind of playback frequencies that you can listen to help. Is that correct?
I have to say, first of all, I'm not positive about that. What my experience has been is that it sounds like you've purchased the microphone you need to use that has the access to the low frequencies. Is that right?
Yeah, it was recommended by that. I heard.
Right. I did the same thing. So I got probably the very same microphone you got. And have you sent in your voice print yet?
No, I haven't done that. I have to get on there and do that now.
Yeah, you just get on the portal and you just talk for, you know, 40 seconds. You do a couple of voice prints, and then they'll send you back a written report. and the written report can be rather complex. I did, of course, this myself, and I looked at that, and wow, there was a lot of entries of some names of issues that I'd never even seen before in my life. And so what really helps as the next step is to make sure to make an appointment to talk with someone about what all that means. I mean, what's the bottom line? So you want to have a conversation with them, and that, none of that costs mm-hmm. anything. Okay. Sherry had been doing all the conversations of people who had a diagnosis of Parkinson's because that was something that she was really interested in. So you might be able to actually talk with her. And so in that conversation, what will happen is the big picture will be discussed. In other words, perhaps you can go to a supplement store and buy some supplements that will make a big difference. Now, what you were asking about is, well, can you then get a playback of the frequencies that you actually need? Well, indirectly, I think yes. What they can oftentimes tell you is that the notes that you are deficient in are the notes of C sharp and F. And so all of a sudden, you know, okay, those are the notes that my body is, again, it has a deficiency. It's like a deficiency mm-hmm. of a vitamin.
Yeah.
And then, interestingly enough, they actually have some information on their website that would say the following, would say, all right, what music supports those two notes? And they will make a recommendation of the music that you need to listen to get an infusion of those two notes. Now, isn't that cool? It's like, whoa, okay. It's kind of like what Bill and I were just talking about. It's like, yeah, you can actually listen to music that can make a big difference. Now, in terms of actually receiving the frequencies as a part of that sort of wonderfully available free service that Sherry offers, that's another step altogether. So what happens is that sort of gets into the area of having to then employ a certified bioacoustic technician to be able to do an extensive analysis. And what they'll do is they will program into a tone box that you do have to purchase from the company. So I wound up actually purchasing two tone boxes for my daughter. And what they'll do is they'll program the frequencies that are determined from their analysis that you need to hear and listen to into the tone box. And then physically ship the tone box to you. You'll receive it. And then there'll be headphones. And so you can listen to the frequencies through headphones that you need. And you can do that, you know, 30 minutes a day. They'll give you instructions on what they think you ought to do in terms of how often and how frequently and how long. Now, what also turns out to be the case is a companion therapy is you can purchase a speaker, and it has to be a speaker that plays the low frequencies. They'll give you the actual specifications of the speaker. So I got those from the company, and I bought it for Adrian, and they shipped it to us. It's a pretty big, heavy speaker, actually. I was impressed for the cost. I think the speaker cost $140. I can't quite remember. And then you basically plug in the tone box to the speaker, and then what can happen then is that they'll program the sounds that can be played while you're sleeping overnight. And they can also program them so you listen, and then they'll turn them off for, you know, an hour or two. They'll turn them on because, as it turns out, it's just like medicine. You can be overdosed on too much medicine. So you have to be careful. You know, you can all of a sudden begin to sort of feel worse, and the reason is it's just like what happens with too much medicine, you know, and people get dyskinesia and they really get sick. So that can also happen with sound because it's the same thing. I mean, you're getting frequencies, and you can either get that through the ear, through sound, or you can get it through medicines. So that's my long answer of saying, no, I don't think you're going to actually get the specific frequencies that you need. That involves then getting them to give you some help and being able to, again, they program the tone box that you have to purchase from them. They then ship that out to you, and then you can, instead of getting a speaker, you can just listen through the headphones, or you can actually purchase the speaker.
Do you find that it's really much better to get the speaker? Does it really help that much, or the headphones sufficient?
Well, that's an interesting question because I wasn't actually getting it. My daughter was. But what I do think is the case is, I guess my answer is yes. You have to have the speaker about 8 feet away from your body. So physically, you've got to, you know, have the capability of being able to position the speaker so that it's not right next to you, but rather, I think, about 8 feet away or 10 or whatever. And it just vibrates. I mean, it's really incredible. They're really low sounds. They're really low frequencies. And there is a real vibration to it. And interestingly enough, what happened was when we got the tone box that Sherry prepared for Adrian, and she was quite wonderful. She really worked quite a long time because Adrian's situation was so unique. She had a condition that was so rare that the evidence suggested only 20 people in the world had this, believe it or not. 20 people. Adrian, my poor daughter, was one of the 20. So in the end, what you'll want to do is to realize that the sounds from the speaker are going into the body. I mean, it's I guess it goes into the whole body rather than just through the ear. So the whole body is receiving the frequencies. And I think in the end, yes, my guess is that is a more powerful therapy than would be just through the headphones. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, yeah, we'll get the speaker too. There's no reason just to do it through the headphones. And, of course, it's a lot easier. I mean, when you're sleeping, you just turn the speaker on. You turn the tone box on. You have it plugged into an electrical outlet, and then you just let it play. You don't have to be sleeping with headphones on.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Of course, because you have to. I see your reasoning there. Yes, it does sound like that for sure.
Right.
How much is the so the part of it is free? How much is the tone box to purchase?
As I recall, now you know you're going to have to check with the company on this because they might have adjusted their prices up.
Probably.
If I recall, it was I think the tone box was $375. But,
wow.
You know, that involves the programming. I mean, you know, it's not just the physical tone box. It's everything that had to go into getting the tone box programmed. And then, of course, there's shipping involved, too.
Is that very big, the tone box itself?
No, it's very small. Tone box that we got was, let's see, maybe about 4 inches by 6 inches, maybe, and thick, maybe about 2 inches. It's pretty small, but you have to have the tones in the tone box. Again, I think the problem is that the frequency range has to be pretty wide, so you get some really low frequencies that you have to hear. So you can't just put it through the internet, or you can't do it through CDs. It's got to be through the tone box.
It's interesting. So I will keep that in mind. I think If I do pursue that, I think I will go the whole distance with that, the way you did, because I really would like to be, I really believe in it, actually. I really believe in that.
Well, that counts for a lot. And that's the way I was. And quite frankly, we had pursued a number of different natural therapies for Adrienne, and a number of them helped, but she was still sick. And so I was always on the lookout for anything that I thought would be able to catch something that nothing else could catch. And I was exactly right with the sound frequencies, is that Sherry was able to do an analysis and pick up the cause that nobody else had been able to identify. And she'd been in the hospital for 4 straight months, and they provided no support, no help at all. They couldn't figure out what was going on. But Sherry, and it wasn't easy for Sherry either. Don't get me wrong. I mean, this wasn't a simple kind of an analysis. I think Sherry spent at least a week trying to, I don't mean full time, but I mean off and on, trying to diagnose what the condition was. So she did some wonderful work for Adrian. I was just so very appreciative.
It sounds really, really good. I'm hoping that I can get Sherry Edwards herself to do the analysis for mine, and I hope that's possible.
Yeah, and that is a problem because Sherry is training all these other people. She's hard to get, And I guess she just did that as partly a favor to me because, you know, mm-hmm. I posted her on the program so many times.
Sure.
But
sure.
Also, I think, is because she was interested. She had Parkinson's symptoms, too, and she wanted to pursue this just, I think, because she has an interest in Parkinson's. And Adrian was having some terrible tremoring problems. So she had some dopamine issues, as it turns out. Believe it or not, I mean, here I'm doing issues with Parkinson's, and my own daughter has an issue with dopamine. So it wound up being something that really came home to me.
So Sherry Edwards, and Sherry Edwards helped herself via this means Did Sherry Edwards help herself via that means to get beyond her Parkinson's symptoms?
Yes, she did. There's a whole radio program interview that I did with her. And she explains what she did. She used her own technology, and she found that she was deficient in there was one mineral that I can't quite surface. It's been quite a while that she needed to go to the store and get. And then second of all, the big problem was she was eating wheat that was genetically modified. So when she stopped eating the genetically modified wheat, I guess her symptoms resolved in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Mine aren't that simple, I guess, because I don't always – I seldom eat wheat. I'm really gluten-free when I can be. So.
Yeah. Well, it's rare that the solutions are simple for anybody, really. So that was a miracle that she was able to get relief so quickly. And she continues to struggle with some – symptomatic challenges. I think she has some issues with voice here and there, but all in all, she uses her technology to heal whatever imbalances she experiences in her own body. So it's quite remarkable work. And in the end, you know, my perspective as a researcher is that the healing of the future is going to be through sound and through light. That's the future of medicine. So Sherry is really a pioneer in that, and I guess in a way this is the initial stages, and a bit it's a bit crude still, but I think the future is going to be when you go to a medical professional 100 years from now, they're going to be recommending some therapies that will be either sound or light or both.
Mm-hmm. I have some LED pads that have frequencies. It has 7 channels plus 3 letter channels. And they involve Nogiers and solfeggios and lots of other frequencies according to the difficulties. And so it plays frequencies and light. And I'm thinking that that's a very good combination. I have to get that back from the person I let borrow it.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Get that back and use that. I guess the only limitation of that is it probably doesn't have the low frequencies that the body also needs. But it sounds like that'd be a wonderful thing to get. Yeah, go for it. Let us know how it goes, okay?
Well, are there some low frequencies that are recommended for everyone that could be put in something like that as well?
Not to my knowledge, no. I think it's the same comment I made earlier. Everybody's body is different, and everybody responds differently. And so there's not any one kind of a low frequency everybody needs. If there's anyone that really would be supportive of people with Parkinson's, it's the Schumann resonance. That's the resonant of the planet Earth.
Now, are you talking about the original or the one that it has become? Because I know it's gone up. But they say that the original one, what is it, 7.8 or something like that?
That's right. But you're correct. The Schumann resonance has shifted in frequency very quickly and very recently. No, what you need to realize is you need to have the frequency that the Earth resonates at now. So the current frequency, the old frequency is no longer in effect, so to speak. So you need to have the frequency that the Earth resonates at. That helps with grounding so that people are better grounded when they can connect with the resonance of the Earth. There's a set of CDs that a researcher who's actually studied under Sherry Edwards, her name is Suzanne Jonas, she constructed a bunch of CDs that have frequencies for people diagnosed with Parkinson's, and the big benefit of that is it did program the Schumann frequency. Unfortunately, I think the frequency has changed, so that particular CD probably needs to be updated. But it did initially show some wonderfully positive effects for people who used it.
So she has some CDs, and how do I find out about those?
Her name is Suzanne Jonas, J-O-N-A-S.
Uh-huh.
Suzanne, and she is in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you'll just type in her name and Tennessee, and you could just type in also sound therapy, you'll be able to pick up her website. If you still have problems, email me, and I will look up her website and email you back her website.
Thank you. That would be great. In terms of the Schumann frequency, I've read varying things about it in different directions. Some say, of course, what you said, and that we need to keep up with it, and yet others say, well, no, because our bodies were designed to run on the 7.8, the older Schumann frequency. But that's not what you've heard. Is that right?
Okay, so my response is that's treating the body as a static machine,
mm-hmm.
as if it was designed one way and it can't change. Well, the body's always changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always changing. I mean, after all, cells are always dying and invigorating.
Mm-hmm.
We are new people every day. We are always changing, and we are designed to be adaptable. So my feeling, my thought for you is that when it comes to resonating with the frequency of the earth, we simply need to connect with the frequency of the earth. That's where we live. That's where
mm-hmm.
we exist. So we just need to connect with the earth that we currently live on. And
mm-hmm.
if that's ajar, if we're not able to connect to the earth, then we're going to have mobility challenges. We will tend to fall. We'll tend to stumble. We're not going to be in balance. So people with mobility problems, they will benefit from being able to connect with the Schumann resonance. The people out in space, they listen to the Schumann resonances when they're in space. So when they come back to the earth, they can actually walk. But in the early stages of the space shuttles, when the satellite people went up and circulated around the earth for two or three weeks or months, and
yeah.
came back, they couldn't walk.
Wow.
And so what they discovered at NASA was, well, if they just listen to the Schumann resonance while they're up in space, when they come back, they can walk. That's what they do now.
So which resonance do they listen to, the current one or the older one?
Well, I don't know what the current one is. It's always changing, and it has been increasing.
Yes.
So, and I think it probably you can ask your body. You can use some muscle testing and ask your body.
Mm-hmm.
If it were me, I would be listening to the frequency of the earth now. That's what I would be doing.
I'll have to test. That's very interesting.
Just ask your body, and maybe your response will be different from mine. So just check it out. Ask your body.
Oh, another, if you don't mind, another question in regard to the frequencies. At one point, I try to keep up, not so well these days, but I try to keep up with the website that's alteredstates.net. Are you familiar with that one?
I am not.
Well, they have a weekly newsletter, and they always highlight a different subject. And one time, last year, I think maybe it was, I can't find my notes. I'll have to look for my notes anyway. They were talking about a PEMF, a study, I think in Massachusetts, and I can't remember the researcher's name, but they discovered that Parkinson's people, especially Parkinson's people with crossover symptoms with multiple sclerosis, did very, very well with certain frequencies with the PEMF, and that they could be completely recovered. And I think it was something very low, like 2.8 or 2.9, something like that. And I was wondering if you had had any experience with very, very low frequencies with PEMF. Or if you knew
when you say... When you say PDMF, are you talking about pulse electromagnetic
yes.
field therapy?
PEMF, yes.
So pulsed electromagnetic field therapy?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that can be huge. And no, I don't have any specific evidence that would suggest from members of my audience that that's helped. I do know people have reported that use of the Beamer, B-E-M-E-R, has been very useful and successful. So I can report that to you for sure. Mm-hmm. And yes, I do think in summary that a deficiency in the body of certain frequencies does result in illness and imbalances. And to be able then to infuse the body with those frequencies that are deficient will enable the person to come back into full wellness and health. That's very true. And I think that's what that research study was just showing. And they're accessing that through the pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, which is one access point.
It's just so interesting and so hard to determine when they say such specifics. I do have another question, if that's okay, about one of these supplements that you were recommending, or not recommending, but that are on your website.
Yeah.
And that is the, I think it's, isn't it called ME3, is that it?
Yes, yes.
Which one of those two would you say is effective for Parkinson's, and does it really work? Does it increase the energy in the mitochondria and in the cells?
When you say which of the two, do you mean the ME3 or the ME3 with the liver detox? Are those the two you're talking about?
I guess so. Are there more than that?
No. Mm-hmm. And the liver detox is out of supply. It's hard to keep those in supply. The ME3 is available. So what that does is it infuses the enzyme in the digestive system that enables the body to naturally manufacture glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a natural infusion of glutathione. You can't insert glutathione directly into the body and have any effect because it does not cross the blood-brain barrier.
Right.
But because they've discovered this enzyme in the digestive system naturally enables the body to produce glutathione naturally, that it then does cross the blood-brain barrier. So it's a great kind of a thing to get. The reason it helps people with Parkinson's is that it's very clear from the research that people who have this diagnosis are very deficient in glutathione. So they need a glutathione mm-hmm. supplement, and the ME3 is one way to get it. It's through digestion.
Terrific. It's rather expensive. You could get the one that's not, that isn't the liver cleansing. It's okay.
When you say expensive, what do you mean?
I can't remember. It's been a while since I looked at it. So, well, anyway, maybe not compared to other things, but I'm certainly going to go that route, I guess. But it's okay to get the one that's available and not the one that's related to the liver cleansing.
Oh, yeah. It's both ME3. The liver detox is great because it also detoxes the liver, but just the ME3 straight is the enzyme that you need in your digestive system, again, to naturally produce glutathione in the body. It's a wonderful discovery. It's about 2 years old as a discovery. Researchers in Estonia were the ones who actually figured this out. So it's a great discovery. It really is.
Are there other kinds of things that affect enzymes that would produce glutathione that would go through the blood-brain barrier that you know of?
Nope. ME3 is it, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's it. That's the one enzyme that works that I know of that research has shown really makes a difference. So ME3 is a great choice for being able to promote the existence of glutathione.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. And is it still available through your website?
Actually, I have one box left. I had somebody who had asked for supply, but they have not ordered it yet. So if you order it, I'll be able to get it out to you for sure. It's hard to get. I have to tell you, Charlotte, it's hard to get. They're always out of supply, it seems, when I call them. And they only sell you a limited supply. So. It's a great choice. It's a great choice, and I would strongly recommend that you consider that as a possibility.
Okay, I want that box, please. And if you could save it for me, I really appreciate that. And how do I go?
Okay, I'd be happy to. No problem.
How do I go about that?
Yeah. Oh, you just go to the main website, parkinsonsrecovery.com.
Uh-huh.
Parkinsonsrecovery.com. In the menu, listing of items there, usually at the top on regular computers, you'll see it has a RegActive, it's called RegActive. And there's a listing of what it does and what the research says. And the one that's available is, it's called ME3. It's down lower down in the page. So go to the main website and then look at the menu item that's RegActive.
Okay. All right. That's great. Wonderful. I will look forward to getting that and taking it.
Okay. Sounds good. And let us know about your explorations with sound therapy.
I will indeed.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
I intend to sign up for your class, by the way. My intention.
Oh, great. That's well, we look forward to having you. We'll start in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And that's what's happening here on the shores of the, as you well know, Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are, of course, handsome, and all the children are profoundly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you are a Parkinson's recovery member, you are dedicated and focused and has set the clear intention to be able to find ways of figuring out the cause of your symptoms and the therapies that will successfully address that cause, so that you are now in your own time, in your at your own pace, in your own fashion, using your gut instinct and your good wisdom, successfully journeying down the road to recovery. Thank you so much for joining us at our January support group gathering today.